All right, folks, welcome to Lecture 60 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are going to continue with our study of the critical period. And today we are going to learn that it is perhaps indeed the most critical period in the entire history of mankind. I am starting to become increasingly convinced of this fact. So I'm very excited to be talking about this subject today, because we are talking about the birth of the United States. We are talking about the birth of the freest country in the history of the world. And today we are going to learn about a dimension of that freedom that is crucial to appreciate, and about a problem that the founding fathers faced, and indeed were among the first human beings ever to seriously face and deal with. And we, all of us, live in a much better world because they were so brave as to face it. And so we already know that this critical period, historians call it that because, well, the colonies were not really united. Remember, what was that peculiar grammatical thing that we saw yesterday in the Declaration of Independence that really is kind of a neat little thing that shows us that the colonies were not united? I mean, they called themselves the United States of America, but what did we see that was kind of a signal that they weren't really united, Patrick?
Well, it says United States of America, but not a capital U, as in really united.
Yeah, capital U would mean that that's the name of a country. The phrase United States just meant that they were united in their efforts to become independent. But it wasn't quite the case that they were a country. There was actually a very technical word there's a technical word for what the United States was at that point. It was a confederation. I should probably type that out in the chat box. It's such an interesting word. Confederation. So, if you want to know, what was the United States before it became a country? And the United States with a small u, it was a confederation, which is not the same as a country. A confederation is more like an alliance. Some of you guys know, like Star Trek, there's the Federation, right? So it means that they're separate planets in Star Trek, and they're allied, right? They're not part of one country, but they are federated. They are somehow joined together in an alliance, but they are not quite one. So a confederation is kind of halfway towards being a country, but it's not a country. So that's what the United States was before, well, this critical period ended and the United States of America was formed. Okay? So this is why it's such a critical time, because the separate states of the United States could easily have broken up into separate competing warring countries. What was one reason why they might have decided, well, we're just going to stay separate, and we're not going to get along? What did we see last time that was an interesting, and I'm going to share my screen, that was an interesting example of a problem that would have prevented them from, let me just bring that up on my screen for a second here, problem that would have prevented them from uniting. I'll show it to you on screen, right? This one, right? This would be a perfect map for us to have to remind ourselves of the problem. What was this problem? Abby, go ahead.
The states kept taking these charters they had from the king and saying, this is mine, this is mine, this belongs to me.
Right, exactly. This belongs to us. And therefore, you know, Virginia says this belongs to us. And what is poor Delaware thinking?
No fair.
Yeah, no fair. It's really not so much necessarily thinking no fair, because the rules are the rules, right? But fairness isn't everything. Delaware is thinking, okay, there's no way that we're ever going to be equal to Virginia, right? So America's going to become a Virginia-centric place, or you know, there's going to be some states that are more important than others, and they're going to be in charge, and what can the rest of us do? And there were other disagreements. What was the problem, one disagreement between the states having to do with trade? Why was that such a tricky thing as far as how these new states were going to trade with each other and with other countries? What was the trick there? I only see one hand. I thought we worked pretty hard on this yesterday. Well, it was a tough one. It's a tough question. All right, well, let's see what Abby can tell us. Go ahead.
So, what happened maybe is that, say, one state would have...
Before you get there, I know where you're going, Abby, so you're jumping the gun a little bit here. What was... The problem was that before the Revolution, maybe Rosetta can tell us, before the Revolution, how did trade work, Rosetta?
Before the Revolution, the trade worked. You always trade to the mother country.
Ah, to England. And who was the mother country now?
There's no mother country.
There's no more mother country. So this is the new problem, right? And so who's going to be the mother country? Maybe Virginia, right? Because they were the first state, and they were going to be bigger than everybody else. And pretty soon, you're just going to have to do whatever Virginia says. And so Abby's point was probably a follow-up to that. Keep going, Abby.
That, say, one state, like Virginia, would have a bunch of rules and the other state wouldn't have any. It's easier to trade in the state that doesn't have any, so all the people in Virginia are going to go to that state. And
yeah, people might move from state to state and compete, as they do today. As whenever people can, they move from a country that has less freedom to a country that has more freedom. This is a very common phenomenon. On top of that, they smuggle with countries that are free. And there's plenty of that going on too. So, which is not necessarily wrong. It might be against the rules, but it's not necessarily wrong. So, yeah, all kinds of problems arise from being separate and not being able to agree upon certain things. So that's what's so critical about this period. Oh, but no, but let me just wrap it up. And remind you that, well, okay, there's all these problems and disagreements. What is so critical about that? What's the big deal about countries having these new countries? We'll say 13 new countries they're going to become if they don't figure out a way to get together, right? What's the big deal? They're going to be 13 countries that have plenty of disagreements with each other. What do countries do when they disagree? There's about 5,000 years of human history to back this one up. Walker?
They fight each other.
They fight, which is called what?
Argument.
No. When countries fight, what's it called?
War.
War. Exactly. And if these countries went to war with each other, what other countries can you guarantee would have been eventually involved? Rosetta.
England and France.
England and France for sure. Exactly. Okay, so, and those were superpowers. And America was just barely able to be independent with France's help. What was going to happen was, and here's the whole meaning of the phrase, the critical period. This is what we are studying. The whole meaning of this phrase is, if the founding fathers don't solve these problems, what happens? Without exaggeration, if they don't solve these problems, what happens? Abby.
Well, it turns into a big fighting mess.
And therefore, there will never be a...
government, there will never be a free United States of America.
With a capital U. Exactly. There will simply not be one. Can you imagine that for a second? Now, how many times have we said that, right, throughout this story? We wouldn't be here if Columbus hadn't discovered America. We wouldn't be here if Virginia and Massachusetts hadn't been successfully settled. We wouldn't be here if the Founding Fathers hadn't won the Revolutionary War and declared their independence. But we also wouldn't be here unless, in the critical period, the Founding Fathers had figured out how to take that U in the word United States of America and capitalize it. Which means they had to unite the states. And there were so many reasons why it was going to be a huge difficulty. They had things in common, for sure. They had fought together as temporary allies. But there were too many reasons why they wouldn't unite. And today we're going to talk about one of the hardest ones of all. A problem that was so difficult to solve that even after the United States was formed, it almost destroyed the United States after it existed. A problem so difficult to solve that nobody in history had even tried to solve it. Today you're really going to understand what the phrase critical period means. It is the most critical time in all of the history of mankind. Because the world we live in today would be devastatingly worse off if the Founding Fathers had not solved the problem we are about to talk about. They didn't even completely solve it. What would be different about the world today would be that the crucial thing was they started working on this problem. There's only two groups of people in the entire world that started working on this problem at this time. It was America's founding fathers and some very important politicians in England as well. Only two places in the world were ever tried to solve this problem, and these were the two places. So what problem is it? Does anybody know? Anybody ready for this very difficult topic? A very unpleasant, very challenging topic. Rosetta, what is it?
I think it might be slavery.
The challenge of slavery. Exactly. Now, anybody that studies American history at some point encounters the topic of slavery. And there's no way around it, and it is absolutely important to study. It is one of those things in history. It's an example of something that is important, right? But remember, what's the difference? Important does not mean... Abby?
Good.
Does not mean good. There are a lot of bad things that are important. In other words, worthy of our attention. Now, we haven't talked about slavery in America yet because it was not important. And that's an interesting and different thought, because normally if you study history, history textbooks will talk a lot about slavery nowadays for different reasons. And they will distract you with a lot of discussions of slavery about times in history and about the past in which slavery was actually not important. And that is very distracting, and it doesn't really help you to understand the story. And so that's why we haven't talked about it so far, because that simply would not make sense. We study the things that matter when they mattered. And there is only one time, this is a very strange and probably a new thought you will never have heard before, okay? But I'm going to say it now here, okay? Slavery did not matter in history until people started criticizing it. This is an important thought, and this is a really good discussion at the dinner table. Slavery did not matter in history until people started criticizing it. What do you think of that thought? What does that mean? Is that true? And if so, what does it mean, Walker?
It's true because if no one had protested before that, then they would think there is no reason not to do it.
Thank you, Wonka. You are absolutely correct. There is nothing more normal in history than slavery. What is this? This is the land of Menes Narmer. And what is happening in this image? Abby?
Slaves are being forced to work.
Slaves are being forced to work. Who built those pyramids that everybody thinks are so fantastic?
The slaves.
Slaves. Okay. What about other places? Was it just Egypt that slavery was common where, you know, we could say, oh, it was the Egyptians who were bad. They're the ones who taught us about slavery. Well, here's a famous code of laws from ancient times that people like to talk about when they study ancient history. We'll talk about this next year. It's called the Code of Hammurabi. And it's famous because in ancient times, Hammurabi said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You guys maybe have heard that one before, right? That every person is equal and the punishment shall fit the crime. Oh, well, look at here. In Hammurabi's laws, if a man destroy the eye of another man, they shall destroy his eye. Okay, there's the eye for an eye part. Oh, but wait a minute. If one destroy the eye of a man's slave, he shall pay one half his price. That's all. Oh, slaves. Oh, look at that. Is there any part of Hammurabi's laws that says, oh, you know, slaves are, isn't it terrible that we have slaves? Shouldn't we maybe get rid of this terrible institution of slavery? Nope, not there. What about the Greeks and the Romans? These people who invented democracy and republic. Anybody know about how they thought of slaves, Walker?
They thought of slaves as people who would work for them for free.
Absolutely. Here's another, switch windows here. Let's go to, this is a great painting that we sometimes do in ancient history. It's a Roman triumph, and the emperor is sitting at the top of the stairs, and here is a Roman general coming into the city. And what is this procession? Why are this man's arms behind his back? What is this big, heavy piece of wood across this man's shoulders? Why is this Roman soldier dragging somebody by his beard? What is this procession, Abby?
They're slaves.
Slaves. Okay, so the Egyptians had them, the Romans had them, the Greeks had them, the Mesopotamians had them. Okay, now we get to a difficult moment. Now we get to a difficult and quite uncomfortable moment for a lot of people. What about Christianity? What did Christianity have to say about slaves? Does anybody know? Christianity, Nash, go ahead.
That it wasn't good and that you should, everybody should be equal, basically.
Yeah, that is what most people like to think, but it did not. If you read the Bible is just like Hammurabi's code. Throughout the Old Testament, there are references to slaves, and nobody for a single moment says it's bad. And even in the time of Jesus and afterwards, Jesus' own students, they were called the apostles. They went out into the Roman Empire. And here's a good example. A letter from one of Jesus' students, whose name was Peter. Very important apostle, and he wrote a letter to the Ephesians, a certain people within the Roman world, and in that letter it says, slaves, obey your masters as a command, just as you would obey Christ. And it is throughout the Bible that, and so this is, it was in Christianity as well. It was, slavery was everywhere. Muhammad, who created Islam, had slaves. What about other societies? What about other places in the world? Who do you think built the Great Wall of China? It's not getting very hard to answer these questions, is it, Rosetta?
Slaves.
Slaves. Okay. and on and on and on, right? We know that in Europe, most of the people were serfs, which means they were about a stone's throw away from being slaves. The only thing about them that meant that they weren't slaves was that they couldn't be bought and sold, but they were forced to stay on the land. And in some countries like Russia, at the time of the American Revolution, serfs were slaves. Their masters could buy and sell them. And, well, you can go on and on and on. The story of slavery is there at the beginning of human history, and it continues to this day. It does not end. Here is an important news article from 2014. 2014, that's last year. And what does it say? There are 14 million slaves today in India. Okay. Now this, all of this is to show you. Now this is, why is this news? Now this is where we get to the interesting part, right? Because when does this become news? Why would this be news in the Old Testament of the Bible? No, it was not news. Was this news in Rome? No. Would this be news in Europe? No. When does this become news? Walker?
It becomes news when there's bunches and bunches of laws against it, but still people do it.
Yeah, right. And where do those laws against it come from? Because in every culture of the world, for all the thousands of years of history, slavery is completely normal. And so we come to the United States. We come to the United States. And of course, we have a culture that has a Christianity as part of the religion. And we have people that are coming from Europe. And in both of those traditions, slavery is normal. They come to America. Oh, and by the way, how about those Native Americans that everybody always feels sorry for? Guess what they did to each other? Abby?
Slaves.
And how did Europeans get slaves from Africa? Who sold them? Abby?
Was it the natives of Africa?
Their fellow African slave merchants. Yes, exactly. Okay, so, yeah, this is definitely a long point that I'm making here to show you something really, really important that everybody must understand clearly in order to properly understand history. There's nothing more normal in history than slavery. There's nothing more normal in history than slavery. It is very abnormal that slavery not exist in any particular society. And it is because of the founding fathers of the United States, and as I said, a handful of English politicians and heroes in England as well, that the world mostly does not have slavery today. Because they were the first people ever let me ask you this. Okay, if it's so normal, if it's everywhere, in every religion, in every culture, everywhere, how do you get rid of it? How do you even get somebody who's willing to say it's wrong? How does that happen? How does that happen? If everybody does it, how does it come to be that most people look back and say, oh, we shouldn't do that anymore? What is it that makes it that you get a change? Walker?
It's that you can go to the United States, and there's also a thing that says that you have the right to happiness.
Well, you're on the right track. You're on the right track, but it's more important than that, Walker. It's that there's something has to happen for the founding fathers to say that every individual has a right to their own life. Where did they get that? What has to happen in order for them to make that statement, Abby?
Well, slavery has to be gone because...
No, slavery was there. Slavery was there. And many of the founding fathers had slaves. So it was absolutely still there. And yet, Thomas Jefferson is saying, every individual has a right to life. How can he do that? Now, I need you to understand, this is the most amazing thing you will ever encounter. How is this possible? How did he say that? If slavery was everywhere and he had slaves, that's how normal it was. How did he say that? What did he have to do in order to say that? This is the most amazing thing, okay? At the root of every wonderful truth and every beautiful step of progress in human life, there is one thing. Somebody capable of thinking on their own two feet. Somebody who looks at the world with their own independent mind and says, I see the truth. It doesn't matter what's in any of the books. It doesn't matter what anybody around me says. It doesn't matter if it's normal. I see the truth. And it is wrong. Slavery is wrong. And then that man has to pay a dear and very precious price. He has to pay a terrible cost. Because when you are the one person in the world who's willing to stand up against everybody else who thinks exactly the opposite of you, how does your life go? How does your life go? Is it pleasant, Abby?
No, lots of people get mad at you.
They hate you and they tear you down. Absolutely, they resent you. And it's a struggle. But you have the truth on your side. And the founders were very conflicted about this because it is a very difficult thing to face a truth as terrible as this, that slavery is everywhere. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You're going to stand up and you are going to say, let's try to stop this. What can we do? What can we do? It's time to start the discussion. We need to start to fight this. And that's what the founding fathers did. Which was super hard because there was a lot of slavery in some of the states and not a lot of slavery in some of the other states. So, going back to this here, right? There was a lot of slavery in some of the states and not a lot of slavery in some of the other states. So now where does this lead us? Remember, what's that thing that they're supposed to do in the critical period? What is the thing they must do? Otherwise, none of this history happens. Walker?
Stand up for yourself and fight back.
No, yes, and always, always, always. But in particular, in this case, Abby?
Use your brain?
Yes, but in this, always, always, always as well. But they had to unite. This is the critical period. So, how do you do that? Can you imagine? It's impossible for anybody, I tell you. It's just, I can't believe it. When I think back about this critical period and I look at it and I think, how did they do it? How did they do it? They saved humanity in this moment. And I mean that. I mean that with all of my heart and mind. If they had not succeeded, if they had not succeeded, there is a good chance that everybody in this class would own slaves. And that you would think it's just as normal as everybody else in history. You wouldn't have a single thought. You'd wake up in the morning, you were born, and the person who would take care of you when you were an infant would be a slave. And you would wake up, and you would have a slave, and you would order that person around, and it would be completely normal. And you would be like everybody else in the world. And you wouldn't even know it, that you are perpetrating a great evil, because it's normal. Isn't that amazing? What does it take? What does it take for human beings to be civilized? It is not automatic. Freedom doesn't just, you can't pluck that off a tree. You have to have the most amazing mind and a great courage, and you have to fight the world to get it. That's the Founding Fathers. And this is the critical period. And the good news is, they were as great as they were, and they did it. Here we are, civilized human beings. Tomorrow, we continue the story of the critical period. We'll see what it was that they had to do. They disagreed about so many things. How do you get past that? How do you build a United States of America with a capital U with so many disagreements and with so many things that make people's blood boil, like slavery, with most people thinking it's completely fine? How do you make a civilized world out of such ingredients? It boggles the mind. We will continue tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.